Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, January 9th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're at page 54, the first paragraph. We found
Dawn, you got muted. Please press star one.
We lost you, Dawn.
Thank you. And good morning to everyone. And let's see, I'm not sure how much you heard and how much you didn't, but today is Monday, January 9th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 54, the first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers, ending with, we had been living by faith and little else. Good morning to everyone. Today's readers, the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Terry H., reader of the text, Becca R., Jody E., and Gail K. The reference numbers for Sunday, January 8th, is 19,883, and for this morning, Monday, January 9th, the reference number for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,834. That's 19834. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered. And welcome especially to the newcomers. And Dawn, thank you for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. We now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Don, for all that you do. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and greatly recovered, grateful to be recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry the message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or leave the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, televisions, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 54, the first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers, ending, we had been living by faith and little else. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I'll now ask Becca R. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning, guys. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then, with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us had not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we have been living by faith and little else. Wow, that's a lot of words in that, and it feels really heavy. So I'm just going to shoot straight from where it hits me, and it just makes me think of the idea of success is something that I worshipped and can still worship. And I look at what that's grounded in, and it's all this man-made stuff, these old ideas that no longer serve me. What I've found in recovery is a way to uncover these old ideas, these old beliefs, and connect to new beliefs and new ideas that serve me today. And the one that I frequently come back to and have to remind myself to and continually seek is that idea that my worth, my value, my okayness comes from my higher power, period. I don't know why my brain got the memo as a little girl that I needed to prove my worth and to prove my existence and to prove the fact that I should be breathing air on this earth. But that was one of those old beliefs that came, and it showed up in so many twisted ways in my years of eating compulsively. And underneath it all, I saw was this scared little girl who felt like she needed to prove herself and prove her worthiness to exist. And it's a mantra I say is that, you know, my higher power approves me, period. No strings attached. I don't have to do anything to earn or deserve that. But I would have never found that place. I would have never dug deep enough to discover that that was what was at the bottom of it all, if it wasn't for coming to my knees in this fatal illness and becoming willing to look at what was underneath all those disordered eating behaviors and fear. And I think our big book says, you know, that one little word can encompass so much of our defects. So I look forward to seeing what my fellows have to share, and that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Becca R., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Anne M. Washington.
Anne M. And who is the other voice?
Dina B.
Dina B.
Yes.
Okay.
Bobby W.
Was it Donna W?
Linda W.
Oh, Linda W. And was there another person?
Dion R.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. And Dion R. Okay, I have Ann M., Deanna B., Linda W., Bonnie B., and Dion R. Was there a voice in there that I missed? Okay, let's go ahead with Ann M., please, followed by Deanna B.
Good morning, friends, my faithful members, I appreciate, and I appreciate your help this morning in leading, Dawn. I'm a compulsive eater in Washington State, AMM, and this paragraph I have underlined and bracketed and a lot of other squiggly lines underneath most of the sentences. What this reminds me of is the fact that that Bill W. wrote about this many times in the Big Book and also in the Grapevine about, you know, what we depend, what he depended on, and dependence on people, places, things, and situations, institutions to make him happy and to understand faith. Faith, to me, at this point, is it not just awe? Awe at what I can't understand, this leap that I have to take to get to the place of believing that some power greater than myself is in charge. And I never got that before OA and didn't think it applied to my, what I thought was normal eating, but it wasn't once I found out I was compulsively upset and obsessed on weight and numbers and And that was many years ago. And when I found OA, I found, oh my, this is a whole different shift in my thinking, in my behavior, in my acting. And I can follow this simple program that helps me to understand what this disease, how I can deal with all the other problems that come once I take the food away, because I was covering that up with my obsessive thinking. And so it's not reason for me, and there's no reasoning my way into this. It's simply saying, surrender that steps 1, 2, 3, you know, and then 10, 11, 12, I'm working the steps on every single thing in my life, every single obsession, every single food is not there at this point. It's everything else in life. It's life. So I so appreciate, and I always am hesitant to share because I think I don't have anything to share, but I just wanted to do this on this because it's humility versus intelligence, I guess. I don't know. I have that written down here. But that occurs to me. Thank you so much for being there for me, everybody. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann M., for sharing with us. Deanna B., please share now, followed by Linda W.
Hi, this is Deanna B., a recovered compulsive eater in New Hampshire. Worshippers of people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. I wanted to talk about ourselves. This is my weakness. I have an idolatry of comfort. I seem to be willing to go to any lengths to avoid discomfort. One of my prayers is, God, help me be willing to be uncomfortable. Growth doesn't happen in the comfort zone. Enlarging my spiritual life sounds like growth. I had become desperate when I was almost 400 pounds. I had become desperate when I was anorexic. I've settled into a place of comfort in my recovery. I want to guard and nurture my recovery. I pray to surrender the God of comfort and to do what it takes through my actions and through submission to God's will to keep my recovery fresh and alive. Complacency is my enemy. Excessive comfort isn't freeing, it's limiting. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deanna B. Linda W., please share with us, followed by Bonnie B., and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like. Star 1, Linda W.
Hi, I'm Linda W. from Las Vegas. And I never thought of it this way, never with a paragraph like I'm reading it now. And I want to thank everybody because I did worship success. And money and things in my life. I measured myself how good I was by how successful I could be. That's what drove me that was the motive to be successful. And I didn't realize that faith is there only if you have God in your life. And that nature is right around us. Everything God gives us is right around us. And I want to say thank you to everybody that has shared. You've touched my heart. Pass.
Thank you so much, Linda W. from Nevada. Bonnie B., please share with us, followed by Dion R., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. In case you're just joining us, we're on page 54, the first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers, and we're reading that one paragraph today. Bonnie B., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Don, so much. I'm just going to start my timer. Oh, my, you know, whenever I share, I start off with the same statement. I realize that, oh, my goodness. I mean, look at the stuff. Look at the depth and the weight in these few sentences. So what haven't I worshipped? You know, that was the question that immediately came to my mind when the opening speaker was sharing, and it was a beautiful open. What haven't I worshipped? I mean, even in this program, I worship this program if I'm not careful. I worship the list that my sponsor gave me when I came into the program. And the reason why, and that, you know, that's just like the tail end of it. I have worshiped everything, trying to fill what I call my bucket. You know, when I look at my part, when I do a 10-step, it's the selfish, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fearful. For the longest time, I had such a hard time understanding what's the difference between selfish and self-seeking. And then one day, the Lord just dropped it into my heart, and he said, first, you know, selfish is just all about you. For self-seeking, I want you to picture yourself walking around with an empty bucket, and you're looking for other people, places, institutions, whatever it is, to fill that bucket. And if they fill the bucket, you feel good, and if they don't, you feel bad. So you're basically abdicating, like turning over how you feel about yourself, which is really only connected to me, to other people. And so then I thought, you know, with regards again to this paragraph, so it touches on the feelings, right? And for me, the feelings were either good or bad. It's like the chapters in my book. They were good or bad. Didn't want to talk about the bad chapters. But I now realize they're just chapters in my book. They're not good or bad. The feelings aren't good or bad. It's understanding for me that the God that I serve, which happens to be the God in the Bible, loves me with no strings attached. This is that unconditional stuff. And if I know that I have that unconditional love, my bucket is filled up. If I'm looking to someone else or something else, I'm in trouble. Because the bucket will always be empty or full, depending upon who shows up and how they show up. And in essence, I am worshiping everything but God. It's like I have these targets on the wall. And if the target that I'm looking at isn't my Creator, when the targets that are lower than my Creator move, and they will move because they do, then again, my bucket is empty or my bucket is full. And so this is so beautiful because everything in this program pushes us back to, in that 10th step, what are you worshiping? What are your eyes fixed on today? And if they're not God, we're going to come up empty. And for me, for a girl like me, that meant I went back to restrict, binge, or exercise. That's all I knew for ease and comfort. So for today, my bucket is filled by God, and I so appreciate each of you. And especially welcome to the newcomers. You're in such a great place. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Dion R., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names.
Hello, and good morning, all. This is Dion R. from Ohio. Very grateful to be a part of the solution today. Grateful to be breathing. And this chapter, that verse, that paragraph we're reading, reminds me of all the things I worship and put before my higher power. It also reminds me that even if my higher power was the general master of the universe, the mother nature, where all the things I put before, all the things I worship, people pleasing, that's a big one for me. I'm still working on it. God's still working on me. And it just reminds me of another book that says, you should have no other one, nothing before me. And to me, they both go hand in hand. It's my experience. That one book, that one good book, it reminds me because when I put anything before my recovery, before my higher power, even before me, it winds up crumbling or I'll crumble. And today, just being reminded, so gifted and grateful to be alive. This is January, and I am so grateful to be alive on January 9th in December 2022. This coat fell off, full coated, white, you know, and God brought me back. My higher power brought me back. Why? I don't know. Why the person next to me didn't make it. But today I'm grateful. I am so grateful. All I remember saying is, higher power, I am yours, and I trust you. Either way it go, I was okay. And today, to be alive to say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from that experience? And the clear-cut directions come, not sometimes overnight, just gradually, but the answer is there. I know what I need to do. It was not my fault, but today I accept my assignment for my higher power. Now, did I have that before coming to OA? No. I worship food, how you look, I mean, what you thought of me, the grades I could get, the money I could get, everything someone else said. And it's just today to know that I have a a general master of the universe that I trust and I put my whole life in front of. And I know, and food is sitting eat over it. You know what I mean? And that's the gift. All I kept thinking about, how can I get to a meeting? You know what I mean? And but today I have a gift of recovery. And I'm just going to let that light shine no matter who sees it. I can't direct my life to only you shine it. You can see it. You can see it. You can, no, whoever sees it, go for it. And all I got to tell you is there is a higher power, and it's not me, and it's not my food. So newcomers, please keep coming back because it does work. And thank you, Ms. Dawn, for your service and all who are here. And I'm just grateful to hear from others.
Thanks so much, Dion R. from Ohio. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Liz A. from Southern California.
Gayla
Liz
A. S.
Gayla
Deborah
S.
G.
Deborah G. Okay, I have... Cheryl S. Okay, I have Liz A., Gayla S., Deborah G., Cheryl S., and who did I miss? Okay, let's go ahead with Liz A. from California. Please share with us.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Dawn, for your service. My name is Liz A., a recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. God, you know, I worship everything that fed my ego. Anything that made me better than, anything that made me the center of the universe, whether that be my weight, how much money I made, the guy I was with, how much schooling I had. It was my whole life was guided by my ego, because without that, I had nothing. I was empty. I didn't have anything. And, you know, I work really hard. I'm still working really hard at really shedding those old ideas of who I am and what's important, and letting God be my guide, letting my self-worth be based on esteemable acts by actions that are guided by God. So my faith has gone from the outside things, to some extent, still working on it, to God. You know, wake up every morning and God is the first thing I think of. Please guide my day. And I know I've had a good day when I've let God be in charge of everything. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. from California. Gayla S., please share with us, followed by Deborah G., and please let us know where you're calling from. Gayla S., star one. Okay,
yes,
perhaps...
This is Gayla S. I'm sorry that took a moment. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for the big book and this reading. I'm so grateful for a higher power. I love this excerpt from the big book, the words that stand out, worshipers. We get to choose what we want to worship, and we can train ourselves through the power of God to lift the false gods that we worship and to worship a higher power that has true meaning, true power. I just am so grateful for incremental changes, the keep coming back, the don't leave before the miracle, the little by little shifts and changes. I was in a spiritual discussion yesterday in which people were talking about how does God speak to you? How do you receive personal inspiration, personal guidance from a higher power? And I'm realizing more and more they're just subtle thoughts, subtle changes, subtle shifts in my thinking and my behavior and my interfacing with the world. And it's such a gift. Just lately, finally, I'm getting that I'm no better, I'm no worse than anyone else, that we are all loved by a higher power that gives us strength and can help us to find fulfillment, joy, happiness, peace, all those things. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gayla S. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S.
Good morning, everyone. Deborah G. from Arizona and compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, Dawn, for your service today and everyone that has made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you. Thank you so much for 12-stepping me and welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. It's just been, for me, an amazing, amazing experience. And getting freedom from this paragraph that we read has been wonderful. Now I can live my life. And yes, I can relate to all my addictions, you know, money. In fact, I'm in programs. I'm in programs now for these addictions because they ruled my life because I worshiped them, mentally obsessing about them, driven about them. It was just suffering. It was all suffering. And in doing all this day after day after day, there was no room for anything else. You know, my life was a continual energy to do this stuff. And I didn't feel good. I didn't feel an open heart love. I didn't feel that compassion and empathy for other people or want to help other people because I'm so wrapped up in this worship place with my head, you know, and it was my soul. You know, it was just I think about it now. And I think that's why so much I want to help other people, because I've been in that place of suffering, of worship with other things. And this program helped me so much with those beautiful 12 steps to find something that I can. In fact, it's not about worshiping. It's connecting and getting alignment and feeling the presence. And in doing the action of doing all those things, connecting with that beautiful, divine, loving presence, I've opened up. I've opened up to life. I've opened up to helping others. I walk with an open heart. It's just amazing how just doing the action and getting free of that other stuff, it's all just stuff. I'm so grateful and so blessed. And thank you. Thank you all for holding hands with me so I can have this kind of life that I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. And before Cheryl S. shares, I'd like to just remind us that we are on page 54, the first paragraph. We found that we had been worshipers, and we're talking about that one paragraph only today. So Cheryl S., please share with us, and then I'll take about three more names.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And the set-aside prayer tells me that I need to set aside what I think I know. And one of the things I think I know is the meaning of words. And I have stopped just assuming that I know the meaning of words, and I look them up. And as I'm reading through this paragraph and listening to people share on the paragraph, there are two words, worship and faith, that really keep coming up over and over. And so I looked up worship, and it says admire, revere, and love. And I looked up faith, and it says complete trust or confidence in something or someone. And so for me, this paragraph is not telling me that worship is bad. I believe that we were created to worship. We were created to admire, revere, and love the things that God created for us. Nature, people, and faith, complete trust or confidence in something. So I have complete faith that my rose bushes are going to have roses next year, not daisies. I have complete faith that the love for my children is huge and it's beautiful and I can endure all things with my children. But what this paragraph tells, and so that paragraph is saying those things are okay. That's a natural instinct. That's a natural characteristic that God created in me. And it goes on to say in the book that our problem is when we take those natural God-given things, characteristics, instincts, and we twist them and we pervert them, that's when they become a problem. And so I looked up the word idolize. And idolize means to admire, revere, love something greatly or excessively. And to me, that's when worship becomes the problem, is when money or success, it's gone beyond that natural, the way God intended us to use that God-given characteristic. And to me, this paragraph is saying, worship is natural. Faith is natural. And we were created to be like that and to admire a sunset. It's when we twist it and turn it into something that it's not supposed to be. And in a religious context, that would be having false idols for sure. And when we love money excessively.
Time.
Thank you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Karen S. from Ohio.
Elaine G.
Karen S., Elaine G. Who else would like to share?
I can share. Jeff A.
Josh A.
Jeff A.
Oh, Jeff A. Very good. And, thank you so much. Okay, let's go ahead with Karen S., followed by Elaine G. and Jeff A. Karen, go ahead. Share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Karen S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ohio. Thank you for letting me share. I really got a lot from this passage. I got a lot from the shares before me, and I appreciate what everyone has said. As far as worshiping other things, I really fall under that category. I worship other sponsors. I worship anyone smarter than me. You know, I have low self-worth. Anyone who accepts me, who is smarter than me, I get worth from them. And I heard someone talking about self-seeking, and I guess that applies to that. And I get my worth, you know, from money. I get it from other things. But I like also what it said, that we have the capacity for faith. Because we have this faith in other people, we just have to put our faith in the right place. And we have to put it in God. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of my former sponsors yesterday. And she is now sponsoring again. And I had lost her to relapse about 9 months ago. And it was really devastating to me because she happens to be a physician, you know, and I got a lot of self-worth from being accepted by someone so, you know, so smart, so intelligent, so educated. And it was hard for me to lose her. And my first instinct when I learned that she was sponsoring again was, oh, do you want to sponsor me? But, you know, she said, pray about it. And I did pray about it. And I thought, no, I've developed a friendship with her. I've been with her through her process, you know, of coming back through the steps and things. And I found that I've grown in these 9 months and that I don't, you know, want her to sponsor me right now, you know, because, you know, first of all, she's fresh in the recovery. And I'm afraid of that happening, you know, her relapse happening again. But also, I don't want to lose the friendship and I don't want to change things as they were, you know, as they are. But I guess I'm saying I'm learning not to worship and put people on a pedestal, you know, as I go along, as I get different sponsors and things like that. And I'm grateful for those lessons. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen S. from Ohio. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Jeff A.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. You know, I took this paragraph different than a lot of people. But anyway, the way I saw this paragraph, thinking about myself, is that I'm very, very hard on myself. If I do anything wrong, I feel like I'm never going to be forgiven, you know? And when it doesn't work out that way, I'm surprised, you know? And but I also realized that, and I have this, I feel this way because all my life, you know, like until my father died, he was very critical and judgmental of me. And if anybody is critical or judgmental of me, I write him off, you know? I can't even if it's constructive criticism, I don't know, constructive criticism from non-constructive, you know? And then I hold on to people that, my ex, she's very possessive and jealous, and she asked me, what I do today. I told her who I was with, and you had to tell me, she hung up on me, you know? And I think, somebody told me at one time that when you feel better about yourself, you're going to get better relationships, you know? So, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. And I also need not to put people on a pedestal in the program, you know, and which I do. And then it's not good for me. It's not good for them, you know? Anyway, got to work on that, and I got to work on, like my sponsor said to me, having to do with my, getting a closer contact with God, you know? So I was telling her that maybe I'm going to go to temple this Friday night. I left it open. I think I really need to go to, you know, to temple. You know, it's a reformed temple. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Jeff A., please share with us.
Hi, this is Jeff A. I have a stroke 3.5 years ago, and now I can talk pretty well, but I have other challenges. But what happened with me is the company that I was with for 24 years canned me. And I was shocked because there had been a lot of changes in the company. And I thought, I guess I'd never be canned, tossed to the side. And I had done a lot of work and I've been had over 70, 80, $80 million. I was a project director, and I was really good at proposals. And they canned me with less than 2 months severance pay, and I was shocked. And I realize now that it was all of the kudos and the applause was what I was seeking. And it turned out within 3 minutes, I had to have another kudos and another applause. And I couldn't stop. And in a way, God actually, maybe he just decided, okay, we're going to change the applause and all, because now you left the company, or they left me. I was working with them. It was a multi-state company. And then suddenly I got to Idaho, and then suddenly they canned me. And so I realized for myself today that it can't be about other people. It's got to be a God kind of thing. It just, or for me, higher power. And I just got to be more what God wants me to do. I even, my God told me to do certain things in the last few years before they left me, or they canned me. And I didn't do it because I wanted to have it my way. And so God even tried to help me, but I wasn't willing to do it. I wanted to be the best employee I could be. And it was, in the end, it turned out to be really bad. And that's one of the reasons they canned me. So I don't know how to say all this. But anyways, this is what happened for me. So I'm grateful for this paragraph very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. And with that, we will be closing the meeting now. If you happen to be newcomer with us, please stick around. We have a time for newcomers to announce their names and numbers. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.